Always a thrill to be in church on Memorial Day. I grew up during the time of Vietnam. My brother enlisted into the United States Navy, which he would spend 26 years proudly serving his country. My number came up on the draft, and at that time, the Vietnam War ended, and they no longer instituted the draft, but you had to go down for selective service. It was one of the most tumultuous times in our history. But I thank God. I thank God every time that I see a serviceman or a servicewoman who has shown the respect that they deserve. Last night I was eating on a cross, and it was a gentleman who a lady walked up to, and she made comments, and then afterwards I spoke to him, and he says, you know, he says, sometimes I feel a little awkward. He says, because as this lady had just done, she came to me and she said, thank you for your service. And he said, sometimes I feel a little awkward about that because I simply did what I felt I should do in my heart of hearts. I love this country and I served it with honor. He said, I should not be thought of something special. And I said, sir, you should be. It was so nice to see and the humble spirit that this gentleman had. It leads me to the book of Luke, the 18th chapter. We're going to read one of a beautiful parable that Jesus gave. This is talking about a Pharisee and a tax collector. A Pharisee at that day and time was the most well thought of religious leader. The one that you would bend over backwards so happy if you had a wedding next week at your house. Oh, somebody's going to do that. Sorry. If you were to have that, a Pharisee in that day and time, you would be so excited to have them as a guest in your home at your celebration. Men with great respect because of their knowledge of the scriptures. Basically, they were known as the holy men. On the other hand, you had a tax collector. During that time, probably the most hated individual of all by the masses. Why? I mean, I don't know about you, but maybe you love paying your taxes. I haven't found many people that have had that response, but I do like riding on the roads, and I know what the taxes pay for. But remember, this individual was a little different. Most of the tax collector during that time, that actually it's almost like you buy a franchise to collect taxes. From the Roman government, they would be authorized to charge the tax from the government to the individuals. And the way that they made their own money and profit was to add on top of that whatever they deemed fit. And that extra was placed in their pocket. Tax collector, the most hated individual of the day. The 9th verse. Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. The 9th verse here gives you the whole setup for the parable that he is going to tell you. He spoke this parable to those who trusted in themselves, in their own self-righteousness, and despised others. The 10th, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Then the story changes. In the 13th verse it reads, and the tax collector standing afar off would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus, in the 14th verse, I tell you, this tax collector, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Heavenly Father, add a special blessing under the reading of your word. Just give us a moment here to open our hearts, open our minds to receive that as individuals that you have for each one of us. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. All God's people said amen, amen, amen. If you didn't get one of those amens, I gave you three to choose from. Justified, justified, justified. The question is, how can I be justified with an almighty, a perfect, a God that I in no way could ever live to do anything within my own righteousness to please a sinless God? How could I be justified in His sight? That Pharisee, standing so proudly in his own self-righteousness, me, 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 I did this, I did this, I do this, I do this, and I do not do as others. Standing close in, inside of that temple, but then afar away, not even feeling worthy enough to come in close to the temple, but standing afar off, not even lifting his eyes up to heaven, but very humbly saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I am here today to tell you one thing and to tell you one thing alone. I am simply a sinner saved by grace. Amen. Amen. If anybody wants to hear your story, it should be one of, I am a sinner saved by grace. Churches for so long have been in the finger-pointing business. Nobody said amen. I guess y'all never get to the churches I went to when I was young. So, okay. They've been in that business, and I'll tell you one thing, I'm here to tell you that we are simply sinners saved by grace. The contrast between these two men, one of self-righteousness, one who thought he was above those around him and looked at others around him with disdain. But God would say that lowly tax collector, simply by admitting in his heart of hearts, not on the outside, not on some persona that we perceive, no, because in the heart of his hearts, he knew that he could never obtain the grace that God only freely gives. Amen? Amen. I saw a great illustration of this yesterday. I was invited to a wedding. I personally did not receive an invitation. I showed up anyway because I was performing the wedding. It was simply supposed to be an afternoon affair down in Alexandria, Virginia, right down on the waterfront. They had a restaurant, and I was told that the top of the restaurant would be reserved for the wedding and the reception to have a little luncheon afterwards. When I got there, and I looked at this restaurant, and I walked upstairs, I had a feeling that we were not going to be eating chicken nuggets. It's a pretty nice restaurant. And as I did the service, and it was just a short service, and there was so much love in the room. The bride and the groom were just radiant. I felt extremely old when I realized that I was this bride that I was marrying. I'd performed the service for her mother. One does not receive all these white hairs without a little experience. And everything went just as splendid as it possibly could go. And if you were down in Alexandria yesterday afternoon, the service was at 12:30, and at 1 o'clock we're supposed to have the reception. And as we looked out the window on the street next to the restaurant, which is just off the water, there was a rather large drain there. And some people started to look out the window, and they noticed that there was water coming up out of the drain. First, just an inch or two, and it kind of on the side of the street, and then it kind of raised a little higher, and the water kind of scattered out a little bit more. And the conversation within that room was quite interesting. I hope it doesn't get up next to my car that I've paid dollars for. I hope it doesn't get in and cause problems. I hope it doesn't. And as the water got around 14, 16 inches deep or so, a beautiful thing happened. We look at things and we think about ourselves. It was a little girl that came out from somewhere. She was, I would say 8 or 9 years old. And she had one of those little scooters that had just two wheels you put one foot on. And anybody got a special name for that other than scooter?
Skateboard?
That's not a skateboard. You got a handle. She's got a little handle. She's got one. She goes like this. And she... Thank you. Thank you for that assuring that I know the name of a scooter. And she got back, put that foot, took a running start, and right through that water she went. Water splashing everywhere. Got to the other side. Turned around. Back through that water she went. And everybody in that restaurant, as we looked out the windows, we marveled at the joy of a child playing. You know, sometimes we only think about what bad things are going to happen. Sometimes we only just sit there and go, oh my goodness. You come into church, I know God has saved my soul. I know He is up there in the bullpen. He is praying for me. He thinks of the best for me, but you just don't know what's going to happen. I'm here to tell you, God loves you. Why? That part, I don't know. I am simply a sinner saved by grace. As I go to Him humbly, as I go to Him without ever even considering mentioning the things that I do, I'm here to tell you about the things that this book says that He did. I'm here to tell you that every one of these stories, everything within this book, it applies to you and me, because we are simply sinners saved by grace. And He loves you. And He's concerned about your going and coming. He's concerned about that surgery. He's concerned about that wedding. He's concerned if your raccoon steals your key and wrecks your car, He is still concerned. He is concerned because He sent His Son to die for you when you were unlovable. There are people who are going in for scans. It's our job to lift them up in prayer. When I talked to Charles Simmons yesterday, he could get the words out, but immediately he broke down, tears in his voice. He says, I had no idea of how much that I loved the people at that church until I right now do not have an opportunity to go see them. Wow. Wow. Humbly before God, I am simply a sinner saved by grace. As the tax collector said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Heavenly Father, we have come into your house. Heavenly Father, we have felt your presence today. God, we're not here to just bring accolades to ourselves, God, because we know the greatest thing that we could ever do would be nothing but filthy rags compared to your holiness. So we thank you that you sent your Son to die upon a cross simply as we accept him as our personal Savior, God. You give us that wonderful gift of eternal life. Wipe away every sin. And we thank you for that experience of simply being a sinner saved by grace.